Well, hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day today, and you guys have been enjoying all the various podcasts that we put up every single day just for you, I might add. We already talk about this every day. We do this solely for you guys. Hope you guys remember that. Hope you guys enjoy it. And the new browershow.com that we put together for you. And one thing that I want to address, and I'm going to send an email out today to everybody, and my apologies first for this. And it's not necessarily our fault, but it still is related to me because at the end of the day, you're ordering products from me. The post office has become a very serious problem with delivery times. It's not on us.
We're talking priority mail now.
Priority mail. Not the UPS, not the brown truck, not FedEx, not DHL. DHL's awesome, by the way. Our rep's amazing for that. I can get stuff to Australia. The sad part is I'm getting stuff from Florida to Australia faster than I'm getting stuff from Florida to Georgia for the post office. And that's a problem. And so, again, we're having an issue, and I thought it'd be over with after Christmas, and it's not. It's getting worse with priority mail, USPS, the Postal Service. And so what we did years ago, we put together the expedited express shipping option, which is $19.99. And in most cases, depending on where you're at on the size of the order, I'll have that to your door in about 2 to 3 business days, sometimes faster. It's based on where you're at. Sometimes it's there next day. I get a lot of customers that pay for Express. They'll order something in the afternoon on Monday, and it's at their doorstep on Tuesday afternoon. That fast with Express shipping. And so what it does not only is it puts your order to the front of the line, it also gets you top-tier shipping as quickly as possible, and so there's no delays. Most of the time it goes air, not on the ground, air. And so I'm encouraging you guys, if you're having delays in certain parts of your area with post office, please select that shipping. I promise you, $19.99 for next day air and second day air shipping. That doesn't even cover it on my end, but I do it because I want to make sure everybody has really good service, really quick products, especially when you need them. In the post office, they're not doing what they need to do right now, and it's quite sad to me because we also subsidize the post office with taxpayer money.
And also, too, guys, just look at it this way. I mean, you know, you're supporting the show. You do that. You know, if it's, instead of your freight being $10, it's $20, and suddenly you're getting the product in 2 days. The problem that we have with the post office, and they don't want to talk about it, is China.
Yes.
China has contracts with the U.S. Postal Service when they get stuff into the United States and from China, and it gets mailed in literally by the millions of packages a day.
And they have to prioritize it, apparently.
Yeah, and then secondly, you got the Amazon shipments that are basically coming in postal still. Yep. And so what's happened is all this online stuff, especially out of China, is causing most of this.
Yep.
And the problem is we're subsidizing the cost of the Chinese mail.
Yep.
By billions of dollars a year.
You ever wondered why you buy something on eBay and it comes like China e-pack and it's like $1.29 shipping?
Yep.
How is that possible? How are you shipping something from China to your door in Florida or Texas for $1.29 when on my end, if I ship something priority mails from, say, Florida to Texas in a priority mailbox, it's like $12, $13, $14. And it takes a week and a half to get there now. But yeah, you order something from China, and it's here in 4 or 5 days, and it's $1.29. The math isn't mathing.
Well, Trump needs to address this.
Yeah.
He needs to stop all subsidies of mail coming out of China.
100%, and subsidies for Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know this until years ago when I was trying to work a contract with the Priority Mail Service, is that Amazon actually has their own tier rate now that's lower than anybody else in the entire country when it comes to domestic priority mail. I did not know this.
It's below cost.
Below cost. So they'll ship something priority mail, and it's like $5.20, whereas if I try to do it, even with a contract, it's $8 to $9. If somebody tries to do it at the post office store, it's $12 to $14. That's, again, a serious problem because now Amazon's come in now, and they've cut everybody out as far as they're even cutting out the post office. They're biting the hand that originally fed them because they don't care. Now they have their own planes, their own transportation, their own warehouses, their own delivery trucks. And so a huge percentage of the priority mail has now been cut out from Amazon, and they're going in and trying to undercut it. And everybody goes, well, Amazon Prime, I get it in a day or two, Prime days. You're also paying $200 a year for Prime. I mean, if that's something you guys want, I could offer that as an option. We could do a Team Health Masters VIP option where you basically do a once a year subscription. Then you automatically get stuff expedited. I guess I could do that.
And well, you know, the whole thing about it is it's
not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea if people want to do that. But the sad part about it is, I mean, all we're trying to do is be a company that can provide good service and good products.
All my customers taken care of. That's my biggest goal.
And Amazon doesn't care about that. Their whole goal is to put other people out of business. Let me tell you a story.
Call Amazon.
Let me tell you a story. Years ago, many years ago, we came out with a cookbook. I think it was called Eat Clean and Be Healthy. Okay, I also remembers this. Yep. We had another one called Healthy Country Cooking. And suddenly, we started finding them. We were selling them for like $29.95.
Yep.
You know, we're including freight with that. And suddenly, we end up basically finding them online for 99 cents.
Yep.
And what they had done, apparently, is they had gone in and reprinted the books out of China.
Yep.
For like, you know, I don't know, 20 cents a piece. And then they were charging $3.99 in freight or $4.99 in freight. And so they were only paying like a dollar in freight for book rate. So they were making $4 a book, and they just basically cannibalized our entire market.
And I don't know if it was actually Amazon who had the actual book printed or if it was one
of the third parties. No, it was not Amazon.
Right, but it was somebody else.
So what I did, if I remember what I did, I finally had enough of it. I ordered like five of them for a penny a piece or whatever it was. And they came in brand new in a box with no invoice, no return address, nothing. And I thought to myself, unbelievable. And so we stopped printing books. I said, I'm done. I'm not going to do this. But they could go print them in China and then sell my material in this country. Same thing happened with Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy and all the rest of them. I mean, people started cannibalizing it.
Yep.
I had one guy that basically, I'm not going to mention his name, but he did this. It was a ministry. That's why I tell you don't support these TV evangelists. And he basically had ordered a bunch of Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy programs. I was on his talk show, and then he wouldn't pay for them. So then what he did, he knocked them off and printed them himself with his own duplication.
He copied them, I remember that.
Yeah, and basically cut me out of the whole deal. You're thinking, oh, he's a TV evangelist. He wouldn't do that. He'd already been in prison for 7 years, but I'm not going to mention any names. And so this guy was just bad news. And so you see this stuff, and you see these ministries that claim to be Christians, and you just shake your head. That's why I say keep your money in your local church. The pastor's going to be there for you if you need him for a funeral. The church will be there for you if you need the church for the funeral proceedings. Giving this money to these TV evangelists, I could tell you horror stories. That was the tip of the iceberg. I mean, another one, we had donated a bunch of books to them, and then they told the people, and they wouldn't ship the books. And finally, we had to start giving the books away just to cover freight expenses.
For free.
For free.
Just cover the shipping.
And after we had already shipped the books to this TV evangelist, and the TV evangelist told everybody that we had not released the books to them.
Yeah.
I mean, just lies and lies and lies. And you sit back and you watch and you think, how can they pretend like they're Christians? I mean, it's unbelievable. But I'm not going to go there anymore. I'll get on a tear and start fussing. Christy Noem has now terminated four FEMA employees who circumvented leadership to make payments for migrant housing in the New York hotel. I'm so proud of her. FEMA is terminating four employees who circumvented leadership, made payments, and made $59 million in payments. Effective immediately, FEMA is terminating the employment of four individuals for circumventing leadership and to unilaterally make egregious payments for luxury New York City hotels for migrants. DHS's Tricia McLaughlin said in a statement, noting the firings included FEMA's chief financial officer, two program analysts, as well as a grant specialist. My question is, why are they not being charged with fraud?
I was just about to say that. Why are they not being charged with federal felonies?
Under President Trump and President and Secretary Noem's leadership, DHS will not sit idly and allow deep state activists to undermine the will and the safety of the American people, McLaughlin added. The news comes after one day after Elon Musk heading up the Department of Government Efficiency, Dodge, announced that they uncovered a $59 million payment last week alone sent by FEMA to house migrants in luxury hotels in the Big Apple.
Unbelievable.
The Dodge team has just discovered FEMA sent $59 million last week to luxury hotels. The money is meant for American disaster relief. Instead, it's being spent on high-end hotels for illegals. In 2022, the unbelievably horrible I'm about to set something really ugly. Biden administration authorized the FEMA emergency food and shelter program to respond to the migrant crisis. There was no migrant crisis if Biden hadn't opened the borders, by the way. While former White House press secretary, this act grinds me, is these people leave their homes in caravans by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands. They cross into our country with absolutely no means to support.
Zero.
Zero. They have no money. They have no food. They have no shoes. They have nothing. And yet they come here and they expect us to use our tax dollars to put them in luxury hotels in New York City. This is a nightmare. We had the same thing happen across the street with entire housing developments, with migrants, with nobody speaking English, all being housed through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. I am so over this. What happened is, here's what they decided to do with Cloward and Piven. They were two instructors out of Berkeley. They talked about back in the 60s that the only way – now, let's think about this for a second. These two misfits, they're hardcore communists, Kabbalists, Luciferians, Synagogue of Satans, whatever you want to call them, that's what they are. They get into Columbia University. They start promoting cultural Marxism, and they said that the Cloward and Piven strategy would be to overwhelm the republic with social welfare systems until they bankrupted the United States in order to destroy the country. Now, think about that for a second. These idiots are living in our country, and they're doing everything they can to undermine and destroy the very place they live, to turn it into the same hellhole that these people are coming out of with communism. See, when in communism, what they do, and what the Soviet Union did, and what Stalin and Lenin did, the state started closing and burning churches, and they told everybody, there is no God but the state. That's what they said, because they knew that if a person believed in God, their hope would always be in God and not in the state. So they raised an entire generation of atheists in Russia and the Soviet Union, burned the churches, killed over 50,000 priests, burned them, killed them all, killed their parishioners, killed everybody, just to try to get rid of God in their culture. And now there's some of the most decadent things you've ever seen in some of these Eastern Bloc countries. I could tell you stories that I've been told that are absolutely heinous as far as the stuff that the depravity they're involved in. But that's what they did without God. And that's why so many of these people from these third world countries who were raised in communism, they're atheists. They do not believe in God. I had one girl, she came from Romania. I went out with her a couple years ago. I took her to church. She sat there with me in church, went to two different church services, and she goes, well, this is all well and good, but I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in any of this stuff. And I looked at her. I said, that's great. I'm going to take you to your car. You can drive home. I'm done. I will not see you again. We are done. But she was trained not to believe in God. And it's, as a theta brainwave, when you tell a little child there is God, there is a Jesus, and they understand that, they believe that, and they believe that the rest of their lives when they're like 4 years of age to like 9 years of age. If you tell them the exact opposite, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God, the state is God, they believe that. And that's what Cloward and Piven did. And they brought all of these people into the United States, and they increased the social welfare systems and put all of these agencies into place with 3 million employees now in the federal government and a lot more with the subcontractors, a lot more. And so what ends up happening is these people have no useful purpose except to take your money and my money and Austin's money and give it away to basically DEI programs to teach little children their genitalia off when they're little and basically start taking hormones. I mean, you want to turn somebody into a complete and total mental wreck, start castrating them when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 years old, and then let them try to live the rest of their lives out as something else. It's unbelievable what it does from a psychological standpoint to these children. And these people are spending over $100 million in the Department of Education. Doge just found out.
I'm going to cover that in a second. Yeah.
You know, it's in promoting these kids being castrated and basically changed, and their breasts being removed. It's sickening to me. Cloward and Piven was right from the pit of hell, right from Stalin, right from Lenin, right from Marx, who, by the way, was best buddies with Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a real pervert, too. He's a weirdo. His wife was a Satanist. Karl Marx and Abraham Lincoln used to exchange letters. They were buddies. And that's why Lincoln wanted the resources of the South, and that's why he was willing to start the Civil War. Don't even get me started on the Civil War. It's about states' rights. All of this stuff is something that we're now dealing with this unbelievable, bloated federal bureaucracy with trillions of dollars in deficits, because we're giving money away. And it's not that we're giving money away that we have. We're borrowing the money from future generations and giving it basically through the Rothschild banking cartel, which is pure Sabbatean Kabbalists. The Rothschilds were brought in by Sabbatean Zevi through Jacob Frank in the 1700s into Satanism. And then they came into the United States. They wanted to control our money supply, and they did in 1913 because of that blithering idiot Woodrow Wilson. All of this stuff was done and orchestrated on purpose. This morning in the Daily Mail, they've got a big thing promoting Freemasonry in England. All of this stuff was based out of Freemasonry from the early 1800s of the rebuilding of the Third Temple. All of this stuff has been pushed on us now. Their God, and remember this, this is so important, their God is an hermaphrodite. Ein Sof, you know, Baal, Moloch, all these different these entities they worship, they're all male and female together. They believe the highest expression a human being can have is to be an hermaphrodite or a transgender. It is sickening. That's how perverted this is. And that's why they pushed this agenda, $100 million, to the Department of Education to tell your child in your school to cut their doggone penis off and to castrate themselves. This is disgusting to me. And all these people do is pervert, pervert, pervert. And I'm so glad that Doge is coming in and they're using Elon Musk as a hatchet man. And no matter what happens in the courts with this, at least it's being exposed for That's what exactly it is right. now. And at least the population of the United States has pulled their proverbial head out of the sand and they're looking around in a stupor on their Prozac-induced drug fit rage, and, you know, and their Xanax, and they're saying, oh, something's going on. What can we do? Oh, my gosh, let's pull the fluoride IV out of my arm. Something ain't right. Duh, something ain't right. Something hasn't been right since cultural Marxism came into the United States from the Frankfurt School since 1933. Nothing's been right, and it's been here to pervert the United States of America and to destroy our population and destroy the family unit, destroy husband and wives, destroy children, to cause children to hate parents, parents to hate children, everybody to fight with each other. 25% of men now, the age of 40, have never been married, have no interest in ever getting married, and don't plan on getting married and having children. This is a problem.
We talked about it yesterday.
We talked about that yesterday. It's all from this. You know, you go out on a date, and it's like the person's a nightmare from hell. You know, the date lasts 35 seconds, and you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm out, which, by the way, I've had dates that have been 35 seconds. That's the problem that we have now when people have given themselves over to Satanism and cultural Marxism. With the Jacob Frank, who was basically one of the 17 Zeevi guys, 100 years later, brought the Rothschild banking cartel in. They decided they made to make the world as horrible as they possibly could in order to bring back their serpent god. And that's what they're doing. They're making everything as bad as they possibly can. In Gaza, they machine gun little children in hospitals. What the heck's wrong with these people? Do they not realize that there is a real God and that they're going to have to pay for doing stuff like this? But they don't. They don't care because they've been brainwashed also at a theta brainwave state. They use machine gun because they consider them subhumans. This is not okay. None of this is okay. And we've got to realize that unless we stand firm with the word of God and we stand firm with what we believe as Christians, none of this is going to get any better. It's going to get worse. That's why, as much as I don't like Elon Musk, I'm really happy that he's doing what he's doing and talking about this stuff and trying to open up these doggone hidden monies that are being given out by your money, my money, Austin's money, by gunpoint with the IRS. Give us your money or we'll arrest you, bud. Okay, here's the money. All right, you got to give us some more. We'll arrest you. Okay, well, here's some more. This is like a nightmare, and it's because we have allowed it to happen. And it has been the proverbial frog cooking in the pot for the past 100 years. And I know I went on a rant about this morning, but when I saw this with $100 million to the Department of Education for DEI initiatives, I thought, you know what? They're perverting our children at an alarming rate.
Well, then this is the definition. That's why I pulled it up. So if you guys want to do some research on the Cloward and Piven strategy, political strategy outlined in 1966 by American sociologist and activist Richard Cloward and Francis Piven, the strategy's aim was to utilize militant anti-poverty groups to facilitate political crisis by overloading the welfare system via an increase in welfare claims, forcing the creation of a guaranteed minimum income and redistribution income through the federal government.
Exactly what happened.
What do you think they're doing right now? We just spent $59 million last week going to luxury hotels in New York. And what's crazy, that Trump talked about now is that FEMA needs to be completely dissolved. Not just the four guys that basically were involved in this. He said they need to be dissolved.
The state needs to come in.
The thing is, if the state, you have a lot more cohesiveness. People with the state are going, okay, if you came in, you said the amount of money that you were giving FEMA that could be directed towards Florida, and Florida had an emergency, you said, you know what, we're going to distribute this to the governor, basically the state. Do you know how efficient the state of Florida is when it comes to natural disasters?
Extremely.
I mean, every single time there's a natural disaster, our Polk County Sheriff's Department has the largest hurricane response team in the entire southeast of the United States. I mean, we go out of state with our sheriff's department to help other states because they can't handle it. Our center county house is the biggest. We're an entire city. We come in with trucks. We come in with semi. We're fully self-sufficient. One of my best friends who's SWAT team with the Polk County Sheriff's Department, we come in with everything. Trucks, food, water, housing, bunks, comms, security, everything. Mud trucks. We have mud buggies in Polk County. Giant mud buggies to get through. We have airboats. We handle everything just fine. Stop giving the money to these agencies that are doing nothing but spending it on this cloud and pivot strategy. Because $59 million that we gave to the basically these luxury hotels last week, you think the average house in that area, average house and property is around $200,000. I looked it up in North Carolina where the hurricane hit. That's almost 300 different houses and properties that could have been not only either fully bought, rebuilt, or subsidized, or plus, all in 1 week.
1 week. And I love this picture with Trump talking to them in North Carolina, because remember, Biden never showed up. Dude, that is the most perverted, sniffing, weirdo, senile excuse for a president we've ever had in the United States. I'm so glad I don't have to look at him anymore, Austin.
And this is what you were just talking about earlier. They said terrified staff left hysterical as the Dodge nerds storm hyper-woke Department of Education. This is funny. They said basically two of the Musk Doge lieutenants, this is what they're calling them, Doge lieutenants.
Like 22 years old.
They're 22 years old. But apparently these guys have like 170, 180 IQ. They're really weird. But they can run numbers and spreadsheets apparently like nobody understands. And they're going through and they're running through these analytics and running through all these spreadsheets. And they're going, okay, by the way, we found 881 million dollars that can be terminated immediately through 89 education department contracts. Billion dollars. Oh, and by the way, 29 of those training contracts is $101 million.
For DEI.
DEI only. DEI only. You got to think about that for a second. We're spending $101 million just what they found in one day. The DEI initiative is only designed to bring in transgenders and, in my opinion, closet pedophiles through subcontracted groups. That's what they are. They're contracts. So they take subcontracted groups and they bring them into schools and they demand, you have to promote this, you have to show this, you have to show these books in school, you have to do full perversion, or you don't get any more money.
Remember Obama, the transgender story hours?
Oh, yeah.
These guys that sit up there dressed as women,
yep,
and then not be wearing underwear.
Showing their genitalia.
And they'll show their genitalia to young children.
Accidentally uncross their legs.
Tell them to tell you, Obama goes, we have to let women use men's bathroom
first
and
off,
little boys. Yeah.
What type of sick, perverted pedophile gets the go-ahead to go get in a dress with no underwear on and sit in front of children and read them books?
Somebody needs to take him out back and beat the holy living crap out of him.
No,
I mean, that's some sick stuff.
That. That's the DEI contracts for $101 million. They just go through. You can look it up. I'll post the article. They go through it in detail what they're subsidizing with a tenth of a million dollars.
Transgender story hours, baby.
So, again, yeah, that's what's going on right now. And the thing, like you said, this is becoming so – it's almost overwhelming to a lot of people right now because I think people –
they're looking. They're seeing.
People are looking and going, we've been completely played. And we've talked about this for years, but I will even admit – even I did not realize the extent of unbelievable waste of funds that we
That's why we run trillion-dollar deficits, Austin.
You know, I always wonder that because you never get full access to this stuff on these budgetary votes. And I looked at it, I'm like, dude, I know numbers. Well, I can run numbers really fast. I'm going, okay, 100 billion, 500 billion, a trillion. I'm going, gosh, when you break these numbers down, where is this money going? This is an insane amount of money. And then sure enough, now you're starting to see it. She's going here. $100 million to DEI contracts in the Department of Education. And one day they found that. I mean.
You know, it's just, you know.
And, that's,
you know, here's the thing, too. You think, well, I don't care about this. Number one, if you don't care about this, why in the world are you listening to this talk show?
If you don't care about it, why are you even living in the United States? And why are you paying taxes?
Let me tell you when you'll care about it. This is when you're going to care about it. When your 12-year-old comes home and he goes, I want to have my testicles removed. I want to have my penis taken off.
Your young boy says, they've already approved in the school. They've done this now. Some states, they've approved that I'm 12 years old now. I have the right to decide I want to go on estrogen replacement therapy at 12 years old.
Then you'll care.
The school systems have already gotten the green light in some of these super liberal states that they can go in and start talking to your children and recommending your children do certain things when it comes to transgender.
But here's the caveat with all of this stuff. This is the thing that just pisses the garbage out of me. Excuse my language, but I'm sorry. That's all the stuff does is that when you have these DEI parents celebrate this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my daughter is transitioning to a male. I'm so happy. My little boy is transitioning to a girl. I'm so happy. Oh, my daughter's now going to be a lesbian. This is wonderful. My son's going to be a gay guy. This is great. And guess what? They're all having their genitalia removed. We're going to have a genitalia removal party today at our home to celebrate. And you think I'm making this up? There are people that are that perverted. I knew this one woman from Colombia, hardcore socialist communist. She celebrated when her daughter came out of the closet and became a lesbian. Her husband was so embarrassed. He did not know what to do because he loved his daughter so much. And she was like ecstatic that she had decided to be a lesbian.
There was
unbelievable. I've seen it.
There was a sidewalk interview at a rally. It was a transgender rally. Somebody sent me the video today. I don't have it. I tried to post it up. And they were going to their interviewing parents at this transgender rally. And this girl walks up to one of the parents, this guy and girl. I have no idea what their background or what they decided they wanted to identify as because they already look weird enough as it is. And they said, when did you realize that your child wanted to be transgender? And they said, oh, at a year and a half old, we realized our daughter started telling us that she wanted to be a boy.
18 months old.
Are you that insane? Yeah, Do you have absolutely no understanding of psychology? Yeah.
They don't.
Childhood psychology? Oh, she wanted to be a boy. Why? Because she picked up a G.I. Joe doll and picked it up? Oh, she wants to be a boy now. Look, she picked a G.I. Joe over a Barbie doll. Guys, come on. This insanity's got to stop. That's why we're bringing a lot of this stuff up, even though I know it's a negative topic. It's kind of a weird show today on this, but it needs to get brought up. Trump now is signing executive orders to potentially toss entire agencies while reducing federal workforce to essential jobs only. This is a crazy function he put into here. Essentially, not only on top of the full job freeze that they've implemented, they're talking about now that every one job, every one employee that's retained, four deployees have to depart from federal agencies now. I can't argue with a lot of this stuff. And because this thing has gotten so bloated, because remember what they've also done too, and they started this under Obama when they tried to basically prop up the economy after the crash in 2008, 2009. Is they had to show job reports. So they constantly, this started under Obama. They say, oh, we've added 300,000 new jobs this month to the job market. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden you find out they added 85 ditch diggers to a federal workforce that discovers and looks up basically piping. Oh, they added another 23 individuals to an office to handle paperwork. They started creating jobs that didn't even need to be created.
High-paying jobs in many cases.
They weren't even existent of jobs. There was no need for a job. So all of a sudden, they just put these jobs out there. Oh, suddenly we have another 120,000 jobs this month. And they've done that now, and they did it under the guise of trying to produce more jobs to keep the economy going. But at the same time, they did it to do exactly what they're doing now, is they hired these groups that you're like DEI.
You know, now just to break this back down to something funny for a second, because this has gotten really morbid. Remember on that Seinfeld show when George Costanza was hired because he was basically in a wheelchair?
They thought he was disabled.
Remember that?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he had nothing to do.
Yeah.
He was part of a quota hire.
Is that where he puts the bed underneath his desk?
So he could sleep under his desk all day. Had a little TV down there, and he was sleeping all day, and he had his own little bathroom. Remember all that?
Private bathroom because he's disabled.
Oh, yeah, because he's disabled. And see, and that's basically what they've done here under Obama. Obama pushed all this bathroom stuff, this DEI stuff, this transgender story hour stuff. And then what happened is Obama put a whole bunch of federal court judges in, and the person who really put them in was Biden.
Yeah.
He put in a bunch of them. He pretty much rotated the whole stock. Now, this is from Breitbart. It says, Alex Marlowe, lawfare judges are making unprecedented efforts to shut down Trump's agenda. In other words, they're doing everything they can from a liberal standpoint to stop the exposure of who they are and what they are. 3 weeks into the presidential Donald Trump's second term, and the Democratic Party is rudderless. They lack compelling, charismatic leadership. Rudderless. You can never – Kamala Harris, who can't finish a sentence, is not a leader. they are rapidly losing ground in a culture war that they dominated for so long. That's because we subsidize it to the tune of billions of dollars. They don't have any favorable issues or narratives that are breaking out into the broader cultural consciousness. Their tried and true tactic of public shaming and cancellation could even keep the young Dodge employee known as Big Balls out of a job. That's I'm saying what it says. However, there is one element of the activist left that still poses a significant threat to Donald Trump and his agenda, and that is lawfare. Many of the same elements of our justice system that were used to harass, bankrupt, and even try to jail President Trump in years past are still in place and already weaponized against MAGA right now. Here are several activist judges who are trying to take control. By the way, they all need to be impeached for the deep state as weak. Judge Angel Kelly, U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts, nominated by President Joe Stumbling Buffoon Biden. Yesterday, Kelly granted a restraining order against the National Institutes of Health funding cuts. How could she do that? She doesn't have the authority to do that. This is all going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to just all be crunched into this court system. The Trump administration has moved to cap indirect costs. Those reimbursements for overhead expenses on university research at 15%. This is fundamental to the Trump administration's agenda of slashing waste, but is met with strong pushback from the universities because they're all liberal slime pits, to be honest with you. Judge Kelly immediately stepped in on their behalf. Kelly has a history of judicial activism, and this is hardly a secret. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, said in 2021 that Kelly has made it a personal mission to bring about change through her role on the bench. This is entirely accurate. For starters, her career has been defined by DEI practices. Biden boasted that DEI was a factor in her appointment, highlighting her African-American, Asian-American ancestry as part of his administration's push to expand diversity on the federal bench. She openly uses DEI criteria in hiring. Diversity is important to me, she said during a Berkeley Unbelievably Liberal School Judges in Residence program. I want people to bring different life experiences, and diversity can mean any number of things: race, gender, geography, socioeconomic work experience, all of it. Wow. Ted Cruz stated that she said this is systemic racism, almost all systems, particularly the court system. She also participated in China Judicial Exchange, which is affiliated with the People's China Court, according to reports, so hardcore communists on top of everything else. She has a number of other controversial, noteworthy decisions as well. She ruled that a police officer did not have the right to First Amendment protections when he criticized a bill. Okay, I'm not going to read all this. Then we have Senior Judge Amy Bergman Jackson, U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, nominated by President Barack Obama. And man, this is one ugly woman. I'm not even going to show a picture of her. Wow. Oh my gosh. And then you got another one. You got a Chief Justice John McConnell. He's another one that's unbelievably hardcore liberal. Senior Justice Judge Colleen Collar Coltley. I mean, how many names does she need? U.S. District Court for District of Columbia, nominated by President Bill Clinton. And she basically hit, you know, she's known for having sent seven pro-life activists to federal prison in a particularly cruel fashion. The husband of activist Paulette Harlow, 77, whom called it, was thoroughly rebuked by the judge when he emphasized that his wife was dying and pled for mercy. I mean, this is another one, unbelievably ugly. God, these liberals all look alike. And Judge Paul A. Engelmeyer of the U.S. nominated District Court for the Southern District, nominated by President Biden, he basically blocked Dodge's access to the Treasury Department. In his ruling, he forbade all political appointees, including the Treasury Secretary, from accessing the Department of Treasury data. He didn't have the right to do that. You know, so it just goes on and on and on. Senior Judge George O'Toole of the U.S. District Court for District, nominated by Bill Clinton. He's another one of those weirdos. Just, oh, God. You know,
it makes you wonder, though. Let me say something. When you start getting these judges, all of a sudden they go, we're blocking you from looking at these funds where they're going. We don't want you to see where this cash is going.
This guy temporarily blocked the transfer of trans women, also biological males, to men's prison. The ruling rebuffs part of Trump's two-sex executive order taking full effect. This also prolongs trans prisoners' access to gender-affirming care. And goes on and on and on. And these are the guys that are basically ruling from the bench, and they're making laws up from the bench, which they're not supposed to do. They're supposed to rule on existing laws, and they're signing these orders now and these court orders to stop Doge from coming in and exposing who these people are and the communist agenda that has infiltrated the United States. Reagan warned us all about this. He did these speeches in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s before he became governor and told everybody it's the communism agenda that has taken over the United States of America. That's why when Jimmy Carter, that blithering idiot, put in the Department of Education, Reagan did the best he could a couple years later to get rid of it. He couldn't. It already got itself entrenched and funded.
Well, look how entrenched it is now. I mean, one day they go in there, they shave off $900 million in one day with 89 contracts.
No, almost all of these government agencies, including FEMA, Department of Education, ATF, all need to be completely gotten rid of. ATF can be handled easily at the state borders with the different states.
Oh yeah,
you don't need ATF.
And if you needed federal jurisdiction on it, then they could have the FBI handle.
That's exactly right.
That. But I mean, having these guys handle state issues with tobacco and alcohol, I mean, the whole, like I told you, it was a post-prohibition agency that was put together in a very, very small fashion to handle big cities with alcohol, tobacco,
and firearms. Well, they wanted to make sure they were getting taxes from tobacco.
That's
being
exactly right.
Lines.
Alcohol, and then the tax stamps on the firearms, that's the class right. 3 firearms in 1934. So that whole agency has no useful purpose anymore, because here's the thing. If you're going to have all these redundant agencies doing the same thing and handling the same thing, why are we spending all this money?
Because we got to find a way to give away $1 trillion a year, bud.
Oh, and we also needed an agency to make sure the Mexican drug cartels get their machine guns through ATF.
And we covered this yesterday. We talked about how all of these weapons are not going to Ukraine.
Oh, they're being funneled all over the world.
and that was made – we talked about this 3 years ago. Yep. We talked about what they were doing. And so – if you were listening to our show, you already knew all of this stuff.
Yeah.
What's your next story,
Austin? Yeah, well, and then that's what's crazy about it is you start looking at a lot of this stuff and you start realizing, like, okay, where is this going to go? And the truth about it is it has to start going somewhere, because I've had some people say, well, you know, this is going on, this, and this is going to start causing financial issues. Okay, at some point in time, we had to address this. We couldn't just continue to go on spending trillions of dollars every year to keep DEI initiative and contracts going. This stuff had to get addressed at some point. And I know a lot of guys on the markets, they're expecting over the next couple months, you're going to start seeing a downturn in a lot of different things. Because remember, all these people are going to be on payroll for the next 8 months. They're getting terminated. Then all of a sudden, you're going to start seeing a lot of these guys fall off. Now, and I'm not picking on everybody, federal agencies or employees. I'm not picking on
them. Are they all getting 8 months worth of
The ones that took the contract, the ones that basically accepted
it. But they're no longer working.
They're no longer working. So if they took the deal with DOGE, they're getting 8 months. And here's the problem. The vast majority, and I'm not all of them, the vast majority of these people in these positions, the reason why they're being let go is because they produce nothing. They're not being let go because they're super, super productive members of that group, of that agency, and they're top tier and they're getting things done happening. They're there because there's no useful purpose for their job. They're just sitting around. And so what's going to happen is a lot of these people are not going to have any useful purpose in the job in industry. What are you bringing to market? What are you contributing to the marketplace? Jim Rohn used to say that. What are you bringing to the marketplace? If you want to be more valuable, become more valuable to the marketplace. You can't sit there and say, well, I had a very extensive job. I had to fill out a report once a week for this agency. And I know I was only getting paid $150,000 a year, but I need to have that exact same job position or that exact same amount of money in this corporate job now. And I only want to work 5 to 10 hours a week from home. That's all I want to do. A lot of these job positions, when I looked up on them, they were still doing remote work at minimal hours a week, getting paid almost $100,000 a year. And that's why Elon Musk came in and said, okay, here's the deal. You're either going to get terminated next week or you take the job and you resign. You get 8 months pay. You guys just leave. Please leave the agency. And so that's what's happening.
You know, I love Jim Rohn on his discussion of minimum wage.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to cover this real quick. And I'm going out of memory, but I listened to it so many times, I remember it pretty well. He said, there's no reason to adjust minimum wage and continue to increase the minimum wage. He said that a person's value to the workplace will determine their income.
Correct.
He said, if you bring somebody in, you know, at $20 an hour for minimum wage who doesn't know anything,
yeah,
the employer can't hire them because they've not been trained and they bring no value to the workforce.
It's a loss. It's a loss to the workplace.
He said, if you bring them in, you know, $2-3 an hour as an intern or basically as an apprentice, he says, and you start giving them the money, and as you increase their value to the marketplace, they increase their value to the company. Now you can increase the value to them as far as what you're paying them. He said, having a minimum wage set forces employers to pay people for things they don't know how to do and causes a lot of them companies to go out of business. But again, that's the communist protocol of Cloward and Piven again. You know, a lot of states now have $15 an hour minimum.
Look at McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's is a perfect example. They came into these states and they said, dude, you're $15, $16, $17 an hour for minimum wage for somebody to basically flip a burger. And that's just an example. So McDonald's said, okay, well, hold our beer. We're just going to autonomize. Everything's going to be autonomous. We're going to automate it. Everything's going to be automated. We're going to have robots flip burgers. We're going to have one manager there, one mechanic there, and we're going to have the entire place is going to run on its own. Now, you don't even have any jobs for minimum wage there. Now there's 10, 15 jobs that are no longer even a position at that specific McDonald's.
But Rome was right. He says, when you start capping minimum wage or basically setting minimum wage and capping a maximum wage, all you do is take incentive Correct. Away. If you have a person who's in sales, and you guys have had this happen to you, and you've got a territory, and you're making $100,000 a year, and suddenly they say, well, we're going to decrease the size of your territory now.
Yeah.
After you built it.
And we're capping the amount of commission you can make each year.
Now you can make $75,000. You have to rebuild a certain more territory. And you're like, but I already did all this.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. His name was Richard. He worked for Hoover Vacuum Cleaner.
Yeah.
And he worked for them for like 25, 30 years. And suddenly they changed his whole territory. I remember that. And he suddenly went from like, you know, this is back in the 80s. He was making like $80,000 a year. He went to like $20,000 a year. Couldn't pay his bills.
No.
I'll never forget that. He told me what they had done to him because he had turned 50 years of age and he could not believe they had actually done this to him because he said they could hire four people for what they were paying him.
Yep.
And I'm not picking on Hoover. You know, this is a long time ago. But what I'm saying is that it happens all the time in the workforce that they cap income, they cap wages, and they basically they de-incentivize the staff. That's what happens. Nobody wants to work anymore because all the money gets taken away.
Well, and this is the problem. What these federal agencies have gotten away with for so many years now, with these unbelievably overbloated budgets with no caps, is they've hired people with no incentive to increase productivity.
None.
No,
zero.
No aspect of actually contributing more. We're just going to pay you this because you breathe air and you show up to work on a Zoom call once a week, so you get a check. And so not only have they created this unbelievably lazy generation, you created this group of workforce that doesn't even produce anything. Remember, majority of the federal government jobs, they don't produce anything. They don't manufacture anything.
They give away your money.
They don't build anything. All they do is redistribute cash. Understand that. They don't actually manufacture anything. They just redistribute money.
They may hire subcontractors to build
Correct.
Something.
Correct. They may hire subs to do it, but the actual federal agencies and the employees of those don't usually do a whole lot when it comes to productivity or manufacturing or producing anything. They just sub stuff out, and they take money, siphon a percentage of it off, and then give money to somebody else.
Well, they say basically we have to build a temporary bridge structure here.
Right.
So we're going to subcontract it out. Yeah, it should cost around, you know, $100,000 to build this temporary bridge, but we're going to give the guy $20 million
right.
because we deem it so.
Yeah.
And so they get this ridiculous contract, and they're like, I had this happen one time with a local university. They were given a price to repair some stuff at the university, and it was like $500,000. And I remember I told my friend, I said, that's ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And so my friend went back to the contractor and he said, where did you guys come up with this? And the guy goes, I don't know. That was from somebody else's bid. We don't know where they came up with the money. It doesn't cost anywhere near
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It should be about $100,000 instead of $500,000. We can't even figure out how they made $500,000 bid.
Yep.
But what happens is with these organizations and with these universities and a lot of other quote unquote government agencies, et cetera, they don't try to get a secondary bid.
Nope.
They just take the bits. They're sealed, or they just pick one up, and then no one gets to talk about what somebody else quoted. It's crazy how
and
they do
that. A lot
this.
Of times the corruption, I've personally seen this with certain agencies and universities, what they'll do is they'll use the same subcontractor over and over and over again, mm-hmm. and they're getting these enormous bids. They're paying them with no questions. They say, oh, we looked at it. We got a bid. It's $500,000 for this. They go do it, and then that subcontractor, in some cases – gives kickbacks to certain individuals in those agencies.
Well,
and, those
and one of the things that I personally witnessed with kickbacks on this is the contractor has a deal with a supplier, like yep. for wood and material, and suddenly you get an inflated invoice for your material, and the next invoice that the contractor gets to build his own personal residence is a 90% discount.
Yep.
You think, well, can they do that? Well, it's actually legal, I guess, but they could give anybody a discount for anything else. But yeah, but it's not ethically right if you're charging somebody too much for something and then taking that money and because it's fungible and moving it over and giving a 90% discount for your own personal residence. That's why so many of these contractors, when they build their houses, basically for free.
For free. I've watched it. Yeah.
I've watched it too.
And that's, you know, there was a university here in Florida, and there was a big issue with it because there was an individual who was on the county commissioner board that was getting this whole university thing approved.
$50,000 a year.
And then come to find out, he was an advisor to the university on the backside, like a secret advisor for $50,000 a year, while he was approving it on the county commissioner board and making sure everything got through with all types of funding and subsidy. And eventually everything got found out. And then there was a huge falling out with that university and actually split off from those two universities together. But yeah, it's when you start having this kind of cash flow, it's corruption on a different level.
When you're talking dealing with that kind of money, you're dealing with all kinds of stuff.
Well, and that's what's happened now. Mm-hmm. You know, you see these things happen. Also, too, in other news, this is a positive story now. This just came out a few hours ago. Media blackout. Trump's new FEMA has handled 80% of the cases in Western North Carolina in just the last 5 days. This is wild here. They're talking about Homeland Security. Kristi Noem said the Trump's administration is taking care of business. Basically, day and night, they've been working to help communities now. They said in less than 20 days, we've secured $54 million for families in need and registered 2,600 families for assistance that have not gotten any type of help since they signed up for the program last year after the hurricane. Months on months on months, they got no support, no backup, no water. They said some of these people didn't even have potable water yet. Didn't have access to potable water. They said in the last 5 days, we've decreased the number of open cases by 80%. President Trump ensuring the communities aren't forgotten. He launched the first major initiative to connect the farmers and recovery assistance as well.
Remember what FEMA said? We don't have any money.
Oh, yeah. We found out where the money went. Oh, that's right. $59 million went to a high five-star hotel.
Last week.
All right. Well, there's $59 million for North Carolina.
By the way, DeSantis is forcing the Florida GOP to pass an effective bill versus illegal immigration.
There you go.
I got to love this guy. Florida Governor DeSantis and the state Republicans' leaders have reached an agreement on proposals tackling illegal immigration. A special session is set to begin on Wednesday, which is today. Governor DeSantis, Speaker of Florida House of Representatives Daniel Perez, and President of the Florida Senate Ben Albritton reached a deal on Monday saying they will now convene a special session in an effort to pass new measures to combat illegal immigration in the state of Florida, as well as assist President Donald Trump's administration. I'm happy to see the Florida legislature returning to special session to consider a series of proposals that, if enacted, will make Florida the strongest state in the country for combating illegal immigration, DeSantis said in a video posted to his X account on Monday. I really hope they send somebody to the subdivision across the street.
Yeah.
And ask these people why nobody ever works and how they get money. That's what I hope.
It has been quite troubling to me because I've gone over there in the middle of the day before out of curiosity.
All the cars are home.
They have a little community center, and it's got a pool, like this little gazebo and stuff. And I remember I went over there a while back. It was like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, the middle of the week. I was leaving the office, and I stopped by over there. And there was like 40 or 50 people having like a giant party everywhere. And none of them spoke English. I stopped by, and they all looked at me like I was like they were a calf at a new gate.
Gringo,
I
baby.
I pulled in a truck, and they're like, oh, man. Oh man, is that ice?
Probably didn't scatter.
Yeah, I know. They're all looking at me. They're looking at me real weird, like, who's this guy getting out of the truck? And I'm walking around, and I'm like, does everybody do anything? There's all these cars in every driveway. These houses, they were going for $300,000-$500,000 a piece.
Yeah, and you find that BlackRock owns a subdivision.
You found BlackRock owns a subdivision. And then they get in and they get federal grants through these programs. Now we know where all this money is going. They get federal grants to house resettlement migrants through the Fed. And what happens is a lot of it oversteps the state's rights because you're dealing with federal agencies and federal money, and you're dealing with private companies buying private subdivisions, so the state doesn't have much leeway in it. And then you get these groups in the city and county commissioners that approve these development programs based on them all having invested interest in real estate in the area, which I find that real funny, how you have almost every single person on the city and county commissioner board has some type of interest in development company, land distribution, contractors, roadways, contractors. Funny how they're all connected like that. And that I brought up yesterday with Tallahassee.
Well, I was driving down 559 to go to the interstate.
Yeah.
At 30 miles an hour.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Bumper to bumper the whole way. And I thought to myself, they haven't even finished these last 3,000 houses yet.
Oh, no.
What's going to happen with the three? It's going to literally take 30 minutes.
Notice how there's zero roadway expansion. They're not even starting anything.
We asked them about that. They said there are no plans to expand 559. By the way, Disney executives are worried, which they should be, as soaring prices in their theme parks are driving families away from the park.
Good riddance.
Executives at Walt Disney Company reporting worried, well, maybe they should think about their DEI initiatives and how they're pissing everybody off with that, excuse my language again, are alienating families from the theme parks, with internal surveys showing a decline in guests who are planning return visits to Walt Disney World. The price of attending a Disney park has skyrocketed in recent years, with a typical price of a four-day stay inside the price rising over $1,000. Some people say it was $10,000 now.
I would say over $1,000 for 4 days. That's rise, low.
By rising $1,000.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's about $10,000 now for a four-day stay. This has put a serious danger, a serious damper on fan enthusiasm. Internal surveys obtained by the Journal showed a decline in guests planning return visits to Walt Disney World and Orlando. Good riddance to me, because that'll get the traffic better. Attendance at Disney stands, attendance rose by 1% last fiscal year, down 6% from the year before. At the same time, families are being forced to fork over money for add-on services, including premium pricing. Now you have to go in there and buy what's called a fast pass, and you have to basically give them extra money every single day so you don't stand in line for 3 and 4 hours.
There was an article on that, and they were saying now that like the average wait time for the rides there at peak days is between like 180 to 220 minutes.
That's 3 to 4 hours.
One ride, 3 to 4 hours, meaning you're there all day. You're going to get to ride like two rides.
And you stand in the heat.
My whole thing is this, guys. If you want to go to a theme park, I know Disney used to have that coolness to
it. Lure.
It's not that not anymore. No. It was really cool back in the day. I remember going there when I was a kid. They actually had rides that were relevant. They actually had things that didn't have DEI integrated into all of them. There's a lot of different things to do in Florida. There's King's Landing over up in Apopka area, which you can kayak, natural springs. Go out in Florida. Enjoy Florida. There's a lot of cool stuff to do here besides stand in line for 4 hours to ride a ride to get told how bad of a white person you are because you breathe air. I mean, come on. I mean, the whole thing with Disney's just turned to crap. You got Busch Gardens. You got Universal. Even those are halfway decent compared to Disney.
Oh, by the way, the other day I was at a restaurant, a friend of mine, and he's got a water right on the water over in Lake Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just give you some advice here. This is important. It was dusk. It was 6 p.m. It was getting dark. Sun was going down. And signs everywhere. Gators, 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 Gators.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah.
We're talking, and this is Hamilton. This is 14, 15 footers.
Yeah, Lake Hamilton's got some. It's on the map every year for tags and permits, by the way.
Because it's so infested. And they had their little 2 and 3 year old children playing in the water, splashing right.
He's
on.
He's got signs up there, doesn't he?
Yeah. No, but I'm telling you, this happened. As I watched this, and there's a big old thing lurking in the bushes about 20 feet away.
Yeah.
And I walked out there and I said, are you guys local? Or are you from Florida? Or are you from out of state? Because I had to assume that they had to be from out of state.
Yeah.
Nobody's that stupid.
Not from Florida.
Okay. And they, no, we're Floridians.
Where? How long?
And I looked at them and I said, do you realize that at Disney just a couple years ago, a kid was playing like your kids are right now, and a gator came up and took them and ate them,
and
right?
Remember, at dusk, that's when the gators, a lot of them start coming out for
feeding time.
Yes, at dusk. Understand that.
And they looked at me kind of funny, like, why are you talking? I said, I'm just giving you some advice. I said, I don't want to see one of your children. And you know what he said to me? Well, they both have life insurance.
What?
So he said.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding.
They both have life insurance?
The 2 and 3 year olds have life insurance, yep.
That's like putting your kids in the back seat with no seatbelt and saying, well, I'm sorry, officer, I don't have them buckled in. They both have life insurance in the event that we get in a car and
no,
die.
This is much worse than the back seat of a car with those gators. You got 14, 15 foot. A gator a couple of years ago, a lady's walking her dog. The gator comes up and grabs the dog. I mean, runs up and grabs her. Well, then she tries to save the dog. Yeah. Then he drags her off. The dog lives. She ends up getting killed by the gator. These are predatory animals. They're apex predators. If a 500-pound gator grabs you, there is nothing you're going to do but die unless you've got a gun in your hand and you start discharging it.
Eyeballs and brain right behind the eyeballs is the best place to shoot them. Do not try to shoot them in the arm or the back if you're defending yourself.
It doesn't do anything.
It will not work.
Now, down the throat is pretty effective, too. Yeah. But the point is that you've got to realize that these animals here are not jokes. Don't let your children splash. That attracts them. It makes them think there's an animal coming for water, and that's what they do. They come after.
In case you think I joke about this stuff, this was just local news again the other day. 13-foot alligator spotted with human remains and mouth in Florida canal. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't make this stuff up. Don't let your kids be playing in the water. I mean, let's just be real. I can't believe you said they have life insurance. That, to me, that's like, golly, that was like the worst rebuttal you could have said.
Well, what are they going to say? Because they, you know, what are they going to say? Well, we realize we're being unbelievably stupid, but it just is what it is.
I'd be like, oh, you probably, it's probably
But I watched it for a few minutes. Finally, I thought, you know what? I don't want to see a kid get eaten out here. Oh, gosh, I don't want to see this.
Especially if you saw it in advance and you knew that it was probably a high risk and you didn't say anything about it.
So I actually brought it up. But you know, I talked to the owner and he goes, Ted, he goes, I don't know what's wrong with these people. We have signs everywhere. Do not feed the gators. Gators present. Do not near the water. And they bring their children, let them play in the water. He says it happens all the time. And I'm like, if it was me, what I would personally do, I would put a chain link fence one corner of the property to the other corner of the property.
Comes, he's got boats that come up every day, though. So you need to put a
gate there for them to get through. But I would put a fence up there to stop this from. If the parents are that stupid,
comes, it's still, even with signs up, it's still liability exposure because they can still say. But anyway, one side article I wanted to cover before we close. I want to get into detail this tomorrow because this just came out. Merck apparently now in the FDA, the defender just posted this today. New classified documents in the landmark lawsuit against Merck reveal that Merck and the FDA knew that vaccine maker did not conduct proper testing for DNA contamination on the HPV Gardasil vaccine. This is crazy. Internal emails reveal that Merck knew the Gardasil vaccine was contaminated with HPV DNA fragments from the vaccine manufacturer's process and lobbied regulators to bypass testing requirements. You wonder why the HPV rate went up when the shot was introduced. You wonder why Guillain-Barré syndrome went up when this shot was introduced. Look no further. This goes into detail. I'm going to post on the website, but I'm going to go into a little bit more. This just came out this morning. This is a really big deal, really sad, and also, too, another reason why I've told you guys, do not under any circumstances be going in and thinking that these vaccines are safe. Do your own research. And the sad part about this is we're probably going to see the same type of documentation get released in the next 5 to 10 years about the COVID vaccine. Just being honest with you, because quite frankly, we know that all this stuff, there was crazy stuff in these shots. We knew this stuff was contaminated. So again, be sure to get the truth out there. Question everything. If you think we've been lied to, you're just a tiny bit. Look at what's happened now with these federal agencies and how much money's being spent, and how much we've been totally bamboozled.
Well, that's why William Casey said that we'll know we've done our job at the CIA when everything everybody believes in the United States is a lie.
This stuff's going viral. Forward the show, forward the snippets, chop them up if you need to. I don't even care. Get this stuff out there with the Ted and Austin Brower Show to let people know what's really going on.
Today's show needs to go viral. You guys need to make today's show go viral. Yes. You need to send it to all your friends. I very rarely ask you to do that on your Facebook, on your Instagram, everywhere you have, you know, the ability to do it. Post this show today. And then if that, then let it fall where it falls.
Even to make it easier, sign up for the updates. I'll tell you guys this, your name, your email, the Brower Show and the Health Masters will send you emails on different specials we have, on three-pack specials, on coupons, and you'll get this show right to your email every single day. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to search for it. It goes right to your email. Make sure to check your spam in case your email list is blocking it because we have had some shadow banning on that. This is the fastest, easiest way to get this out there. But please, my friends, this stuff needs to be talked about because we're in it. Honestly, I can honestly say right now, we're in an information revolution right now with what's happening. The stuff that's coming out right now.
We are the new Gutenberg
Press. This is a whole different world. And now we actually have a few individuals that just are absolutely bent on getting the truth out there. And it's that time now.
And just as you know, I prayed for you guys again. I love you guys. I really appreciate you guys. I know I said a couple of bad words today. Forgive me for that. But make sure that you just realize that we're doing the best we possibly can to try to get this information out to you as timely as we possibly can with as much energy as we possibly can to let you guys know that we believe what we tell you and we want you guys to be blessed in every single area of your life. And always remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus built the heavens and the earth, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Always remember that every single day of your life. Very, very important.
Absolutely, my friends. And if you need anything, Team Health Masters, call us, email us, check out different specials, including the Arthritis Ease Kit and also the Fit Food Protein, which will be going on sale for Product of the Week. You voted, and it won. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
Love you, guys.